This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ooh. Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Second edition of Funk Friday.
Ooh.
It went so well the first time. Let's just keep doing it forever. Thanks for being with us on a Friday. Hopefully everybody's morning is off to a good start. Lots to get to over the next 3 hours. Good morning to you, Randy.
What's happening, man? Yes, it is Friday. And as you said, it is Funk Friday. And hopefully this funk-ass rain goes away and we can have a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful start to June. All right, because May did not bring May brought more flowers. I mean, more showers.
Yeah, April showers brought more May showers.
Yeah, man.
So then June flowers, maybe.
I guess. I really guess, man. But yeah, it is. It's gonna be a lot of fun. A lot of fun this weekend and everything like that. Not surprising. Outcome of last night's NBA game. Really?
No.
I don't think anybody was surprised.
No, anyway. I mean, you know, and so a little disappointed just in terms of, like, the quality of the game.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of those.
Yeah.
Not so much in this series. This series is mostly giving you good finish.
Duds.
Yeah,
it's
there's been quite duds. A few duds throughout this NBA playoffs, and last night was one of them for sure.
There's been some duds, but and then, you know, the Braves have lost back-to-back series after winning so many consecutive series to get close to 500. But they did lose this series up there, and
they lost.
Huh?
It's not all they lost.
Yeah, that's right. I'm about to get there. Then you possibly lose your young, electric rookie pitcher, and AJ Smith Shaver, who, I mean, we were here when he got hit.
Yeah.
Right? So when he got hit, I thought that was why he was out. Then somebody said he got hit by a pitch. I was like, yeah, but then something happened to his arm.
Yeah, it was funny because when we were doing, Dukes and Bell were coming in and we were going out, they were taking him out of the game, and it was like, I saw him got hit by a comebacker, but I didn't think they took him out, and it wasn't. So not only it wasn't just confusing because we weren't paying close attention to it, it was confusing anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, AJ Smith Shaver gets hit with a comebacker off of his Achilles or his ankle or whatever, and he stays in the game. And then the next pitch or the next batter, I don't know if it was the exact next pitch. I don't know if he threw one or two pitchers or how many it was, but something happened to his arm.
Yeah.
And Spencer Strider saw it. Strider's in the dugout like, oop, there it is.
Yeah,
go get him.
Yep. I know that posture.
I know that reaction to when you throw a ball and it doesn't feel right. And he wanted to try to stay in the game, which, I mean, credit to him for being tough, but obviously they have to take precaution. He said he felt a pop in his elbow. Obviously, no details yet as far as what that is. We know he's on the 15-day IL. I think we'd all be surprised at this point if that's all it is. If it's it was just a, you know, whatever, and then he's going to be back. Hopefully that's what it is, but I'd be surprised if that is what it is. And then you got a couple of other guys banged up yesterday, too, in terms of, like, utility guys and backup guys. And, yeah, man.
It sucks, man.
Not great. Now, the Braves at least won the second game, and they hit the ball a lot.
They should have won this damn game.
Yes, they should.
Your best, I want to say you're one of your better relievers is in there.
He's your best reliever.
Yeah, to go in there
and go in
there and take care of business, Bonk, and gets the bases loaded. I still think that was a crap call because it hit his pants.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't hit his.
There were multiple crap calls late in the first game yesterday.
I mean, then you get bases loaded, and of all people in the world to be up there is Eli White. Now, that was not a strike.
It wasn't.
That was not a strike, but still. It was a weird situation because now Snicker comes out and says Ozzie stole on his own.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get there with the bad pitching and all those things, and you trick this game off. And I was in the car, and I heard Carl, I forgot what they were talking to, and he was talking about today's Chris Sale, this second game. He's the stopper. He's the guy that stops the bleeding and everything like that. Then you're going against Wheeler, and he's dealing early. So you're like, oh, hell, this is going to be one of them things. And I was like, I'm sitting there looking like whoever pitches first is going to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
And damn it, if we didn't get to Wheeler. And I'm like, and we were up 6-0. I was still like, this ain't good enough.
Yeah, come on. Pack a couple more on.
I was like, I saw Chris Sale was at like 99 at the 6. I was like, can you get me one more?
Because you know they're going to have to go to that bullpen.
Yes.
And who knows what might happen when you go to that bullpen.
There,
so, when Austin Riley hit that home run to make it 8-0, I was finally like, all right. Maybe we can relax a little bit, flip over to the basketball game a little more heavy. He's right about Chris Sale being the stopper. I looked it up this morning. I was like, because it just feels like when Sale's on the mound the last 2 years, okay, good. Like, this is a really good opportunity to win.
Right.
They're 15 games over 500 in Chris Sale starts dating back to the beginning of last year.
Right.
Okay, good. They're 13 games over 500 as a team over that stretch. So if they didn't have Chris Sale,
they would
be an under 500 baseball team over the last year and 50-plus games. So, I mean, first of all, thank God for Chris Sale.
Yes.
They also got him from the Red Sox for really nothing.
Right.
Like, that was really, you know, not a crazy trade. Now, at the time, we had no idea what it was going to be. It was like, all right, everybody knows Chris Sale, but, you know, this is kind of a bit of a long shot given what his injuries have been. And then, you know, once you get the guy, you start making arguments for him, and everyone's like, well, all of his injuries were kind of fluky. It was like, all right, we'll see. They were. And he's been healthy. And he's been fantastic by and large. Got off to a little bit of a slow start this year, but they're still, I believe, 6-6 in the games that he's pitched. So, and he's got a 3-3 record. But yeah, man, thank goodness for him, because there's nobody else doing anything like that on this team right now.
No.
From a pitching standpoint or a hitting standpoint.
Yeah, man. And I mean, you got some timely hits yesterday. I mean, some guys we talked about yesterday as far as getting hits and everything. Michael Harris had a couple of hits yesterday.
Really, what a day.
Great freaking play at
what
the ball.
What a day.
He made two great plays yesterday just in the field. And we expect that Ozzy obviously keep continuing his hitting streak. We talked about, you know, Austin Riley getting it going. Mm-hmm. Big home run yesterday. Oh, Luke got in on it. 2-run single from Luke Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Williams.
Yep.
I mean, they got some good contribution. They were able to win that game yesterday. But, yeah, it's just, you know, why the hell are they going back to Boston? Didn't we just get from Boston?
Well, they're coming here.
Oh.
Yeah, they're coming here.
Oh, okay. At means at Boston. Okay, never mind. All right.
Oh, is the show sheet wrong?
I don't know. It says at Boston.
Well,
right,
yeah, well, yeah, you know. Abe's got a lot on his plate.
Yeah, I know. He's getting ready for the peach tree and
ABTL probably this weekend.
Yeah, and all those other things like that. So, yeah. Right, appreciate it, Abe. No problem. But I don't see that on purpose.
It says home series.
Yeah, I know that. But I just want to say it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
On the sheet.
All right, my bad.
That was it.
I'm just because my mom gave us such a hard time earlier in the week. I'm just trying to.
She's still on this?
Well, I think it is. Yeah, I think we're on probation. Probationary period.
Come on, Mom.
Yeah.
Well, don't take all the joy. I mean, we have a joyous show and it's fun and everything. Can't take everything from us. Yeah, you can't take it all from us. Please,
yeah, huh? Anyway, Boston's coming to town Friday, Saturday, Sunday, tonight. You got Grant Holmes, Spencer Schwellenbach, and then Spencer Strider again. And, you know, you went up there and handled your business when you were in Boston. Hopefully you can do the same thing here. And, you know, it just kind of is what it is right now. I mean, they're three games under. They're kind of right around there. Until the offense really gets rolling. It was nice to see them score 9 runs in the second half of that doubleheader yesterday. Kind of feels like those have been so few and far between, but because they have. and once, you know, if the offense can get it going, I think that they can get on a hot streak. I still, you know, I have no doubt that the Braves are going to have a month or two, and obviously like a 2-week stretch where they get hot and win like 10 out of 12 or something like that. Like, that's coming.
Right.
It's just
waiting on it.
Yeah. And it's also just a matter of, okay, that's the extreme that way. You've had the extreme the other way. I mean, they lost 7 in a row to start, and they've kind of been up and down over the last couple of weeks. I mean, the Padres came in here last week on a 7-game losing streak, right? So, like, even good teams lose 7 in a row sometimes in the midst of a baseball season. The Braves just did it to start the year, so it felt way worse. They're going to have one of those stretches where they win 7, 8, 9, 10 games in a row because they're a talented team. It's just a matter of what's the middle? What's the mean? When you're not hot or you're not cold, when you're just normal.
Right.
How good are you at that point? And right now it feels like their normal isn't good enough to compete with teams like the Phillies and the Padres and some of these other teams that they're going to, if you have dreams of postseason baseball, which obviously we do, that's the expectation for the Braves. When you're measuring yourself against those teams, they're not there.
No, it's not. They're not up there with the upper echelon teams in the National League right now, but I think they have the talent to be there. You know, it's just more, they got to be in the word. We're going to just, continue to use is being consistent. I mean, that is the most important thing with this squad right now. Obviously, we talked already about losing a guy like A.J. Smith-Sharver, so that means Bryce Elder has to, you know, continue to, you know, because he was pitching well before.
Yeah, which is a good thing to be able to go back to him.
He didn't get sent down because he wasn't pitching.
No, he got sent down because A.J. Smith-Sharver was pitching
and
better.
And then they brought back
Spencer Strider.
And so that's always something that you can look into and everything like that. They still have the issue with closer. He just can't go clean.
No, they do.
I know he just can't be clean. It's just one of the things where I'm just working on stuff. This ain't spring training, bro.
No, I mean, at this point, it's. Yeah. I think we're beyond you know, is he whatever? Yeah. He's not the same guy right now.
Yeah, man.
Is he going to get back to being that guy? You can hope, because he's going to be out there. Like, they're going to put him. He's their closer, so he's going to be in save situations. But there's nothing indicating to me right now that he's that guy anymore.
Yeah, I mean, just can't just have us, you know, just sit back and just chill. Just gotta like. Here this guy goes.
No, because he's...
Here he goes.
Like, he literally can't.
Here he goes.
In order to have one of those innings, you have to be able to get guys out.
Yeah.
And he can't.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. Like, you got... But this... It's not even a high leverage moment.
No, it wasn't. It was 9-2.
You know what I mean? Like...
But because, I mean, it's not the pressure that's bothering him. I don't think he's, like, stressed out. He's got hundreds of saves
I
in his life.
I want him to be stressed out, Andy.
But it's not the
I need him to be stressed.
But it's not the high-leverage one-run game that's causing Iglesias to struggle. It's that he can't throw the pitches that he's trying to throw.
I understand. That's what I said.
Something physical is wrong. I don't know if it's wrong or whatever.
Is something physical?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm trying to go with the more mental aspect.
No, his slider doesn't slide.
If it's something physical, his ass don't need to be out there.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Now, the slider not sliding, is that physical or is that like your ass just lost it?
Yeah. I mean, it happens.
Yeah.
This is like that Kirk Cousins thing last year. It's like, I don't know how to explain it. I'm not a doctor.
Right.
But the guy's not the same. Like, I'm looking at him.
Yeah.
And I've seen him before.
Yeah.
And he's not the same guy. The fastball's close, but the slider's not working.
He's not
and that's
sliding.
His out pitch. He's given up 6 home runs on it this year already. He hadn't given up 2 home runs on it in the previous 4 years combined. Like, his slider was the out pitch, and now it is getting hit out of the ballpark.
Yes. So what is the out pitch?
He's not the same guy.
Out of the park pitch.
Like, I don't know. Maybe he'll get it together, but we're 50 games into the season, and he looks like trash.
The biggest gripe I had yesterday, who told this dude that was a home run?
Who?
Did we see the one that went foul? Okay, now I'm sitting there like cussing and mad, and I'm yelling for the Phillies.
Okay,
they played their home run music, so maybe I'm thinking that's what it was.
He got tricked by the ballpark.
Oh, I guess so.
I don't know. I'm sitting there like, that is nowhere near fair. I'm not even in the ballpark, and his ass just trots all the way around and everything like that. And hold on, that don't look right.
He just wanted a jog.
He wanted to get loose or something. So I mean, that's all I thought. He trying to get loose because there's no way in hell that was a home run. But yet they played the music because, whatever. You know, we were still smacking that behind. But, yeah, that was the most confusing part about the game. That and then, obviously, Ozzie just doing his own thing. I was like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, and again, that's something that has popped up quite a few times in the first couple months of this season is just kind of base-running decision-making. Yeah. It's like, what are we doing?
That wasn't the call.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe is it one of the things where you trust your player enough that you feel something? I'm sure Ronald stole plenty of bases without somebody telling him to.
Probably most of them.
Yeah. So
a lot of those guys have.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, I'm not even going to even trip on it.
That's not the same thing as the Eli White thing from last weekend. But it's still just like – these things also are more glaring when you are what the Braves are.
Yes.
Like razor-thin margin every single game. Yeah. But, yeah, it's frustrating how often stuff like that is showing up and being causes or at least – like leading to causes of losses. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending here to kick off the show. Braves split the doubleheader yesterday against the Phillies. Lanny, United's got a game this weekend. The Eastern Conference Finals continue on. Talk about all that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Another 1-2, and Sale got him. Career strikeout, number 2,500 for Chris Sale. Only the 40th in Major League history to reach that mark. And he gets Sosa to do it. And he does it on the slider. 6 scoreless innings for the reigning Cy Young winner.
His slider was sliding.
Yeah. All his stuff is firing on all cylinders right now.
Great. of a pitcher this man, not is, but has always
been. I know it's weird to say, right?
I always think about it.
Because is, but also was.
Yeah, like, it's a great, I mean, he's always been the guy.
He has. You know? Well, and then there was that gap.
When he got
right?
hurt, when he got injured and everything like that. But watching him go yesterday, that's why I was like, Andy, when he was up to like, when he had that one anyway, he got, you know, when he got touched up a little bit, I was like, come on, because I need you to get to the eighth. I kept saying that yesterday.
Yeah.
I need you to get to the eighth,
man. Because then maybe we don't have to see Iglesias.
Yeah, I was like, I need you to get to the eighth, please. And then, but then you know, he's like at 99 after six. I was like, they're not going to send him back out.
Yeah, no.
Man, congratulations to him, man. You know, 2,500.
Fastest to 2,500.
Yeah, man, congratulations to him. I think I saw this morning 80 innings, I think it was, by 80 innings towards the next guy.
Wow. Got him by 80, huh?
Yeah, so good for him, man. And they needed it, man. They also needed the bats to come alive, which they did in that second game. A couple of home runs. So I just didn't think that was getting out.
I know. Ozzie's ball was just it was just begging to not get out.
You said that TV.
I know. I was so happy that it did, though.
Yeah.
They got after Wheeler too, which is awesome. It's the second time this year they've done that.
Yeah.
They got after him back in early April, five and the third.
He's nervous about playing his hometown team.
Could be.
Yeah, I mean, even though he's played them
a lot of times. Yeah, he's making $40 million a year just to sort of ease the nerves. Yeah. But I guess he still gets.
Was he ever an option for here?
Well, he was a free agent.
That's what I thought, right?
I mean, right?
Okay, I was trying to make sure. I mean, 2 years ago, wasn't it?
I think it was 3 years ago.
3 years ago, okay.
But, I mean.
Yeah, I knew they weren't giving it to.
They weren't giving.
Yeah.
I don't know who they would give that to, but no one yet.
Yeah.
Like prime Hank Aaron became a free agent. You think they would have paid him?
Oh,
nah, he would have been a Dodger.
Nah, he would've, exactly. Hank would have been a damn Dodger. Damn sure would have, man. But they got, I mean, obviously we had the way of, I mean, we were talking about when they were so far behind of as far as, you know, stacking series wins. You would lose one of them, but you would end up winning the series. And so they lost two in a row.
That's right.
Two series in a row.
Yep.
Two really good baseball teams.
At least they stayed because they were 10.5 out for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
At least they won and they're only single digits out. Or I guess it's 9.5. But you know what I mean. It's not 10 yet. So try to stay within double digits out if you can help it. I don't know, man. Hopefully at some point the worm turns and they're a lot more fun to talk about. It was fun to see them hit the baseball in the second half of the doubleheader yesterday. And unfortunately, it wasn't just the loss yesterday of the first game. It was also the loss of A.J. Smith-Shawver. And we've just gotten the updated report. He's now on the 60-day IL.
Yeah.
So kind of sounds like you're probably not going to see him again this year.
Yeah.
You just have to hope that it's not like the worst-case scenario, which would obviously be Tommy John surgery, and you know, it almost feels inevitable right now with young, hard throwing pitchers.
It's got to be a hard because you don't want, I mean, when you're out there, you don't think about being injured. You don't think about getting injured.
No.
But I mean, it has to be in the back of your mind that because of how frequent this happened. We were going through
all your peers are getting it.
Yeah, because we were going through like us growing up in the era that we did of just hard throwing pitchers, and like none of those guys got it.
Mm-mm.
You know, and so they go to like, well, what is the cause of all these things? That's just like them ACL tearing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just the frequency of these injuries happening that didn't happen when, you know, I guess all the sports specific training. I don't know. I really don't know.
I have more of a theory on the pitchers than I do about the other stuff, the ACLs and the Achilles and stuff. I just think the guys that we grew up with that were hard throwers, we remember them because there wasn't that many of them, and they were hard throwers because they could do it naturally. Yeah. Like their body was just built to be able to throw 98 or 100. Now, some of these guys whose bodies aren't.
You made into it.
You just told that's what you got to do. Yeah. Like, if you want to make it to the big leagues, cool, you got a nice curveball and a nice changeup. You want to get drafted? You want to make it through the minors? You got to throw 99. Yeah. Well,
my arm only says 95.
Yeah, my arm's comfortable at 94, and I have this great changeup that actually works off that 94. Nah, you got to ramp that bad boy up to 101.
Bring it all over.
All right, well, my elbow's going to fall off at some point. Fine, we got a surgery for that.
Yeah.
We got a surgery for
that. All you got to do is miss a whole year.
Yeah, no big deal, and you won't be the same the second year.
Yeah.
So really 2 years is what you're going to miss. So, but it'll be good, and then you'll be fine for like – it's like an oil change. Then you'll be good for – what is it, 3 months or 3,000 miles or whatever,
like that,
and then you get another one? Because now, I mean, guys get multiple.
Yeah.
Like, Strider got Tommy John in college, and then whatever
that was,
not quite Tommy John, but close to it.
Just make sure we don't want
We don't want Well Actually Twitter guy mad
at
us.
We don't want this guy coming in. Well, actually, guys, it wasn't Tommy John.
Do you think Tommy John
shut the hell up
is happy that that's the main way that he's remembered? Because I think he won like 280 games.
Yeah, but I think, you know, no, I don't think you want to be known for that. Like, I wouldn't want to be Randy CL.
The Randy McMichael surgery.
Yeah, I don't want that. You know, I mean, if they're gonna do something, get me like make me into a former Blue Chew. You know, I want to get I want to be a pleasure source. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah. I don't want to be a cause of misery. Yeah.
I want to be a pleasure source, too.
Yeah.
Here's Carl Anthony Towns last night.
Towns lumbers in, hits a right-hand layup, and one. Carl Anthony Towns extends the Knicks lead to 11, their largest of the night, and a free throw's coming up.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing they did last night is that they pressured the hell out of Haliburton. And they, I mean, Bridges was face guarding him. You know, and we thought about how they would change up the strategy as far as guarding him and everything, considering how he abused him the night before. I just thought Knicks were going to win. I did. I thought Knicks would win this game. And I won't say the Pacers mailed it in, but it just seems like they were just trying to get it back to Indiana.
No, I think it's – I think it's too easy to say they mailed
but
it in.
My only thing is this. Is really, I don't say it like that. And believe me, I hate saying it like that because you know how I feel about when people ask talk about quitting all those things.
Yeah.
Haliburton only shot the ball 8 times.
Right.
He was so passive. And they can't win with him being – like, he let them take him out the game.
That part of it
that's the part I'm talking about.
Isn't great. Like, yes. you don't want to see that from your star player.
The superstar player, Randy.
Call it what you want to call it. The guy's incredible, and his team's one freaking win awesome. Away from going to the NBA Finals. So we'll leave those debates for others. But you've got really important players. This is the thing about this point of the NBA season in general, but this series – for the sake of this conversation, is like a lot of these guys are banged up, man.
Yes.
Like Aaron Nesmith is really the only guy on the Pacers roster, maybe outside of Benedict Mathurin, but you really don't want Mathurin in there for that long.
He's a wild man.
Because you never know what he's going to do. He played good last night. If it wasn't for him, they would have got beat by 35 last night. But Aaron Nesmith's really the only guy that can guard Jalen Brunson, and he's banged up.
Jalen Brunson was so aggressive early. He was so aggressive offensively early, but looking like he was like kind of how we were talking about the Thunder the other night. Just let's get him out the way early.
Yeah,
you know, and they were so aggressive. But you're right, Indiana fought back. They cut it within, like you said, 10 before we did the off-the-cuff podcast. But yeah, I mean, I just thought that the Knicks, the desperation that you have to play with when your backs are against the wall. Now, do they have enough for this game?
That's something I was thinking about this morning. I'm gonna see if I can ask this in a way that makes sense.
All right.
Is it easy? Because neither one of these teams have really been here, or certainly not further than here. Right. So they don't know how to do it, right? Okay. Like, you don't know how to do it until you do it.
Okay.
Is it easier to play with your back against the wall in a situation that you've never been in before, or close out a series, just want to win one out of three? Mm-hmm. They just got to win one out of three, the Pacers, and they lost the first one, so now they got to win one out of two. And if they don't win at home, then they got to go back to New York. Is it easier to play with your back against the wall with that level of desperation in a situation you've never been in before, or to close a team out that you're clearly better than in a situation you've never been in
before? I think that because you're better than them, it should not be as hard, especially when you're at home.
Yeah.
But closing out a desperate team is so hard.
That
because
and when you've never done it.
And that's the thing about it is because they got, like I said, neither one of these teams have been there. But like Indiana, they've got kind of a, the past 2 years had kind of a soft road because they faced teams with injuries at key moments.
True.
Now, they're Carl Anthony Towns is banged up, didn't see a lot of it last night, but he's a little banged up. But yet they're all there. They didn't play that many minutes. Well, I'm sorry. They didn't play their typical 40-plus minutes in this game last night, talking about the Knicks.
Yeah.
And so you kind of save some of that energy and everything like that. But if they play the way they played last, they'll win this game. Like, the Pacers don't – because the Pacers also had 20-plus turnovers too.
Yeah.
So if the Knicks can turn them over – They don't want to go back to New York City.
No, the Pacers did a great job. The Knicks did a great job last night of making the Pacers play at their pace.
Yes.
Because they made shots.
Points. 94 points.
They made shots.
Yes.
Like, that was – their game plan was smart. They made shots. They didn't miss all their open ones like they did in the game before. But when you make shots, then you can get your half court set. And then you can make them try to play. The Pacers don't want to play in the half court.
No.
They want to run.
They don't. But
they want to make you uncomfortable.
And when they scored one, they scored the previous game. Like, they had to be down like 40 less points somewhere in that area.
Yeah. The other thing is, and I don't know if he can keep doing it because he just never has, but Karl Anthony Towns can get whatever he wants.
Yeah, they can't. They have nobody. Like,
Miles Turner can't do
anything.
Take
a damn charge. Now, I know you might get hit in the face because he's a wild. He got all them long, wild limbs.
Yeah, that's what you have to hope for.
Yeah, so he might knee in the face.
Well, that's how you stop him, is you go at him.
Yeah.
Because he had five fouls last night, but he had four early in the fourth quarter, and they didn't go at him.
I like what Charles Barkley told him. Like,
Why do you keep getting those dumbass fouls? He asked him just like that.
Dude, they are crazy. Hey, the way they come for them ESPN folks, man. What Shaq said, we don't care who you are. We coming for you. Over you, through you. Like, damn. Is it like that over there?
I thought you were going to be teammates. No? All right. I'll tell you who's like that, though. He'll go through you.
Who?
Over you. Under you. Slit your throat if he has to. Smoking Joe Patrick.
The new podcast
who's
guy.
Who's just been sitting again
the
2 weeks in a row.
Podcast guy.
Like, Joe shows up 25 minutes early for his segment and just tries to intimidate us while we're doing what's trending. Like, all right, Joe, we get it. We're going to go to break. You're coming up next. We'll talk Falcons with Smoking Joe after this. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. 20 minutes away from getting into an NFL no huddle. Get you caught up on everything going on in the National Football League, top of the noon hour. Back into some NBA playoff conversation at 12:20 as well. As you know, last night was a bit of a dud of a game, but at least we get more inside the NBA.
Yeah,
we get one more inside the NBA at least, maybe two.
The way Shaq was like, I don't care. Basically, we come to take over y'all. NBA don't care. And you know what? We ain't doing none of the lineup shows. You won't see me on nothing. Just tell me what. I was like, damn.
I know. That was quite a speech that he gave.
It was like, damn, Shaq.
And I was like, who are they mad at? And is something going on behind the scenes that we don't know about? Or are they just trying to walk in there and like you pick a fight with the biggest guy the first day or something?
But they
like
are
that.
The biggest guys.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they are the biggest guys.
Yeah, that's
guys.
The thing. Like, they don't have to do any of this
they
stuff.
Do nothing,
like, everybody agrees, like you, maybe some outliers, but universally, everyone agrees that's the best sports talk show ever.
Right.
Like, everybody loves it. It's right. The greatest show ever. I don't know. I guess they got to keep asserting dominance.
They coming through that thing, like, just kicking down doors.
I do wonder what happens because, you know, obviously they've got their thing and it's amazing and everyone loves it. But then ESPN also has a NBA show.
Oh, they got to get rid of all that.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. You got to get.
Thanks for coming.
I mean, Malika, she's nice on the eyes, but everybody else.
Well, I think Malika does a good job with a lot of the stuff that she does.
Yeah,
it's not
awesome.
Her fault that show's not good.
But then you got Perk over a hot take it at.
Yeah.
And that's what I always say about when athletes get into the business. I don't have an issue with critique and all those different things because you know what you're talking about. But when you've got to say stuff to impress people,
that's where
you lose me.
Yeah. And I think it's tough because
you
get pressured to do that over there sometimes too. They're like, hey, if you want to really move up, you got to make viral, clickable kind of stuff.
Yes.
My favorite thing is when you get guys that are the former players that get into those roles and then they're like encouraging them to do that or they're on shows that are doing that.
Right.
And then you get J.J. Redick just like looking at Stephen A. Smith like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm not going to. No, you don't know anything about what you're saying. Anyway, we got a guy in here who does know something about what he's saying. His name is Smokin' Joe Patrick. Let's get to him.
In one corner, we've got 92.9 The Game's midday host, Andy and Randy, at a combined 12 feet, 3 inches, and just under 400 pounds, to the best of our knowledge. And in the other corner, 92.9 The Game's reporter, Smokin' Joe Patrick, at an undisclosed height and weight, because he likes to cause trouble.
That's a good question for you, because like in this instance, you're the incumbent. What if what if 92.9 hired like another Falcons insider to bring in?
Right.
Like now we have two.
Who just had the hotter takes.
Yeah.
And then like, I've got to ramp up my takes.
What do you think you'd do?
I don't know.
Violence, probably.
Yes.
Yeah. Wouldn't be the first time.
No. We
certainly
understand you.
Be.
We understand that you take no nothing from nobody.
Yeah.
Anything we don't know that's going on up there?
Well, we were.
Let's get to it.
That's an OTA's question about what's happening in Flower Branch. No, I mean, we were just talking.
Anything interesting about the Falcons? Yeah, no? All
right. Honestly, I mean, like, for me, it's like this Kyle Pitts story is really kind of boggling my mind right now because we were up there. You know, I talked to people up at the facility on that day, you know, when he was not at practice, you know, asking around, asking what was going on. And, you know, the Falcons, they can't ask players where they are because these are still purely voluntary activities. But then the next day, around midday the next day, we get a report from James Palmer saying that he was in the building but dealing with a foot injury. I'm going to be honest. I don't know if I buy that report, guys. I don't know if I buy that report.
Why wouldn't they have just told you that?
Exactly. Why wouldn't Raheem Morris have just said something before? Like, hey, guys, by the way, you know, Kyle's not going to be out there today dealing with a little foot thing. He'll be back next week.
Because it popped into the mind earlier this week when we were talking about it because Bijan had that last year, right?
Like, right.
Bijan came into this part of the year with a little bit of a foot thing, mm-hmm. whatever.
Which is totally normal. If they have anything they're dealing
deal,
with, they're not going to put him out there.
Obviously, because he went on to have a great year, but they held him out and they told us about it.
Right, exactly.
And is he in Germany?
Bijan, I just saw like some social stuff of him in Germany, and I know that when we were there earlier this week, Bijan, I can't remember if we were supposed to talk to him or not, but anyway, yeah, I had heard that he was like, oh yeah, he got canceled. He's like in a rush to get out of here. So he may have been
doing the mustard market.
No.
Bijan
mustard.
I know, man.
Well, he's probably doing some of that while he's out there.
They love brats.
Schnitzels.
That's a great place to market it.
You put on some Bijan mustard on a schnitzel.
But I think he's over there to promote the game.
Yeah.
Oh, that too.
The Falcons playing out there and everything.
Maybe.
Maybe some, you know, USO trips, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Maybe. I think he's slanging mustard. all right. So what are your spidey senses telling you? Let's speculate. It's late May, there's nothing happening. What's going on with Kyle
Pitts? We did hear, you know, there was speculation that you know, he was upset, doesn't want to, you know, wants a contract extension or wants something sorted out before playing on the fifth-year option. That seems, I think, crazy to all of us. There's been, I think, other rumors that, you know, maybe he's holding out for something. I don't know. I don't know, guys. And I'm honestly afraid to speculate about it.
I
want to just bring the facts here as much as I know them. But
yeah, right.
That's
you're the insider. We're the radio hosts. And preface this by saying, obviously, I have no information as to whether or not that's what he's doing. Mm. If he's trying to get a different, but like, what would have to be going on in his mind to think that a new contract would happen at this point?
Yeah, well, that's why that doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
He has no leverage in the situation either, for the Falcons.
That can't possibly be what's going on.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I'd be shocked.
Let's go inside the mind of Kyle Pitts. Let's say you're Kyle Pitts. You want to set up your future the best possible way. Is playing for the Falcons this year, is that going to give you the best option to go out there on the free agent market, assuming that happens?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Maybe. Or maybe he thinks it's on some other team, potentially, that could get him the ball more because he has not gotten the ball that much.
I would look at it from a standpoint, if I'm his agent, I'm trying to keep him here because it's hard to go to another situation and think that you're going to automatically excel.
He's got familiarity with the coaches, at least. You know, the quarterback, you would think is going to be able to get him the ball. He already did that in the end zone in that dramatic game against Washington last year.
Well, if my goal, which everyone's goal is, whether it's in football or life, is to try to make the next paycheck the biggest paycheck, I think playing on the fifth-year option in what this passing offense might be and then hitting the open market after that would be the best way to maximize your earning potential, right?
Yeah, I definitely. I would say, though, just to make the other argument, Charlie Warner started to get more and more snaps as last year went on to the point where he was actually out-snapping Kyle Pitts, especially when they were in line. Yeah, exactly.
You didn't sign him to do that.
And I think in a system that was as much 11 personnel as it was last year, where they said they were going to mix it up more than it had been, no. It was like the Rams on steroids last year going with the 11 personnel. And I think when you're in that personnel, just having a player like Charlie Warner might be more advantageous for you, especially in the running game. He can just do a little bit more when you already have three wide receiver options out there for the quarterback to look for.
JP, why, when you look at, the whole, because I was going to have some fun with it, when your backup quarterback doesn't show up.
Yeah.
And then your third guy comes in, he's the backup now. Who the hell is that?
Stick. Yeah, Easton Stick.
When OTAs come around and he's not, and say Kurt shows up, is he going to be the number two quarterback?
I think he probably will be, but I don't know.
I just want to have fun with it. It's Funk Friday. It's Funk Friday.
That's a funky take right there. Like,
Do you think the reason why he's not at OTA? I mean, I was thinking, is the reason he's not at OTA, like, does he maybe not want there to be evidence of him throwing the ball at all? I'm not sure. I'm sure he obviously wants to be in a different situation.
I've heard some theories on this. I hadn't heard that one yet. Like, they don't want to have any video of him throwing the ball, so he can still hold out the illusion that whatever last year was what it was. Who was it? Peter Schrager or something was on TV the other day. He was like, well, maybe he's not there because he doesn't want to take any of the attention away from Penix. Because he's such a good dude that he's just keeping his distance. Like,
this is your time, Mike.
Maybe. Yeah. I will say.
He's such a great guy.
I will say, if he's taking third string reps at the mandatory minicamp. Go on.
Playing safety like RG3 used to.
Wasn't there another, didn't they do that to Trey Lance or something that?
No, it was somebody else. Oh, God. Made him play safety.
Was it Deshaun Watson in Cleveland when he was hurt or something? I don't know. There was a team who made a former starter play safety on the practice squad. Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy G.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, whatever it is, that's what, because remember, during all of the, the Super Bowl stuff, will they get rid of him, whatever, like when he was doing his media tour, a lot of the Falcons fans were like, just keep him and stick him on the bench. Just stick it to him. Which is I was like, well, that's not really how business works. That's what that would be. Like, if he came to mandatory minicamp and they made him take third string reps, all the people that wanted the Falcons to do that are going to be elated.
Because
that's exactly what they wanted to have happen.
You would think. Make him a holder or something. Yeah, do something. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. It'll be very interesting to see at mandatory minicamp, because that's the day that they got to be there. They don't have to be there for any of these. These are purely voluntary, right. And that's bargained by the players. They want it to be purely voluntary, but mandatory mini camp. It's funny. Last year, we go there, and it's basically there's hardly any football happening. It's like a family day, honestly, and it's just attendance is taken basically. And
yeah, I remember that. There was more videos of players' kids, cars than there was anything that was happening. Which whatever, it's fine. It's June. Yeah. Now they did actually do something of news and note this week. They got Ryan Neusel signed to a contract.
Yeah.
What do you think took this long, and were you surprised by the numbers at all?
I think that what made it kind of hang in the balance for a little bit is this particular situation, which is the fact that he was a UDFA, which now puts him at this point in time into a restricted free agent role, which is almost more along the lines of baseball, where you talk about teams having team control over players. And he and his agent knows that he's going to be a starter, in the NFL. That's something that very few people can say.
Right.
And we need to protect ourselves. We need to make the most out of this opportunity as we can. Unfortunately, they just don't have a lot of leverage in the situation. So I think that that's why you saw a little bit of a – it's not even a holdout, because Ryan Neusel during all this has filed waivers to make sure that he could be with the team and has not missed anything. So he's been there the whole time. And I think that it actually is mutually beneficial for both sides. For the Falcons, you basically now have a lottery ticket. I just say that in a player where you didn't expect anything from him and now you're potentially a starter. And if they get average play from him, then for 2 years, that's a good deal for the Falcons. And from Ryan Neusel's perspective, considering he's in a situation where he doesn't have a lot of leverage, could potentially lose his job if he doesn't play well in this 1 year he has, just get a little bit more, extra money. And it sounds like a little, because it is a little and relative, but a couple million dollars more or whatever.
It's a lot.
Up to, $5 million more. Yeah. That is life-changing.
Yeah, I know we talk about millions flippantly because of some of what NFL players make, but he does still live in the real world.
Yeah, UDFA from App State.
Yeah, he just signed a $6.25 guaranteed million-dollar contract. He's going to be solid now.
Yeah.
That goes a long way in Boone if he decides he wants to go back up there and hang out. You know what I mean?
I'll buy a lot of drinks at Klondike Bar, I'll tell you that.
Look at you.
Look at that. Oh,
there you go.
Where'd
wow.
That come from?
Boone,
Andy,
North Carolina reference. Nicely done.
Hey, Joe, we got 2 minutes in. Again, it is about to be June. What is your thoughts on the South? On the NFC South?
It's funny. I see a lot of Falcons fans who are kind of poo-pooing the Panthers because the Panthers are, I think Panthers fans are a little bit high and mighty after what they saw last year from Bryce Young. Frankly, I am of the camp where I think the Panthers are going to be frisky. I don't think they're ultimately going to have a good record, but I think that they are going to, I think, take a lot of teams to the brink, potentially probably upset a couple teams, and that's going to be something that the Falcons have to watch out for. But otherwise, I think it's going to be more of the same with the Bucs and Falcons.
They
going.
Scored 44 points on the Falcons in the final week of the season last year.
They should have they should have beaten the Bucs as
happened.
Well.
Their quarterback threw a touchdown and turned around and walked away.
Before it even was caught.
Before it was damn
he
caught.
Steph Curry'd us.
What's who was the basketball player who did the shot the three, turned
Nick
around?
Swaggy P.
Except he made it.
Except he
made it.
So and, I don't. You know.
Yeah, Penix was ranked second in a lot of categories in his three games. Number one was Bryce Young in a lot of those categories.
There you go. Can't be bragging about one if you're not taking into account other. Joe's here for context, precedent, level-headedness, violence,
prestige.
At times, prestige.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We just still got 45 seconds.
I was curious what you were doing. I was like, what?
Oh yeah.
Now, but the Saints are going to be awful, which I think, by the way, the Saints being so bad could actually bump up the win totals for the Falcons and Bucks. And I don't think it's crazy to say that both the Falcons and Bucks could make the playoffs.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so either.
It very nearly happened last year. Had the Falcons beaten the Commanders.
Yeah, exactly. If they wouldn't have fallen flat on their face at the end of the season, they both would have made the playoffs last year. Hey, today, Dukes and Bell are going to be at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw as they get you set for a huge sports weekend, including playoff basketball and hockey. Plus, it's a chance to enjoy happy hour food and drinks with Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That's Dukes and Bell, Friday from 2 to 6, Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. That's today, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thank you, Joe.
Appreciate JP.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.